Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold that, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you, and opportunities to fade, shade and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent, and believe me, you ain't seen much. It's just the beginning. More walking, slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot and it's evident. They can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector, you know I ride. I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. I'll fight for you.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them instinct the moment you let me round. I torched it, scream shouted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you freed from danger. Hurt, fear, depression and anger, confusing rage and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting for what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah the pain came and the rain fell down. But I maintained through the skirmish, cause I love you. and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you, I'm right for you, I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you, I'll fight for you, I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
fighting cause I refuse to lose you.
Fight for you,
I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahweh Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. Like always, I'll suggest that you get your study tools, all those things that's necessary for a good study. Your iPads, your notepads, your pens, your pencils, all those things that you feel as though you need for a good study. And if all fails, you can get you a little recorder. That way you don't have to write anything down and you can just go back over it later on and listen to it. Send me a shout out. Let me know that you can hear me clearly. As we approach the Sabbath day, this is we're approaching the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's been a real interesting week for me. I'm going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this day to give you praises and give you honor. We thank you for thy son, Yahushua, and what he has done for us, the door that he opened for us, the opportunity that he gave us, if we're willing to accept the contract that has been given, understanding that his spilled blood and his body was a covenant that he made with us so that we can have an opportunity to meet with you in thy kingdom. And he also gave us a few stipulations, and that was obey his word. And we thank him for that covenant. We thank him for that opportunity that he gave us individually and collectively to make it into thy kingdom. We thank you, God, for choosing us to walk in your ways and walk in your truth and to take on the light of Yahushua and be that light of him in this world, giving others the opportunity, just as well as he gave us that opportunity to make it into thy kingdom. We thank you, Father, for allowing our Ema to come home closer to us so that we can go and share your light with her and also learn from her as she went through a journey. She probably has much to share with us, and we have much to share with her about our love that we have for you and our love that we have for her. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given everyone that are in my listening voice and everyone who call themselves Israel and humanity. For we know that Yah is blessing them day in and day out, and they really don't know. But because we know where our blessings come from, may we continue to do what is according to your will, O Father, sharing your love with one another as a family should. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies that you've shown us throughout the course of this week, the lessons and the blessings. We thank you for your protection that you've given us throughout the course of the week, protecting us from those little mishaps, both mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But ultimately, Father, we thank you for thy son, Yahushua, who laid his life down for us but that we can live through him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage. A remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. Shalom once again, Yisrael, listening audience and family. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? We're going to, we're still in Joshua. We're going to, attempt to do 17 through 20 today. And before we start, we've been talking about, Yahushua, son of Nun. And he didn't let Israel across the Jordan. And they started, they conquered some, they conquered the lands. And now, the last session we were at, we were talking about how Yahushua, son of Nun, is old. And now what he, what he has done, and what he, what he has done, so far he's started dividing the land up. So one of the points that came to my mind, I think, last Sabbath was identifying each and every one of us as being a land. And also being chosen. The Father chose us out of the world to be a land that he wanted to occupy. And if we look at ourselves as a land that the Father is occupying, see, when Yahushua takes residence up in us, he brings things to our attention. And see, we have to go to war. We have to battle those things that are in this land. See, because when we come to the understanding that Yahushua is with us, and that the laws, statutes, and judgments were written for us, then we have to apply them to our everyday life, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. We have to apply these things. And these things are brought to our attention so that we can get rid of them, so that we can be that precious land filled with milk and honey, that goodly land that sprouts up good fruit. And we have to put in that fight. Things are brought to our attention. Because if we don't, we'll be just like some of our forefathers. When they got into the land, I think we read last time, I think it was the tribe of Judah. They got into the land, and they did not get rid of the people of the land. See, that's just like us, something being brought to our attention about we have a character flaw, and we just ignore it and allow that character flaw to stay. And the longer we allow this character flaw to stay, then that character flaw becomes a hindrance to us. So we have to be willing to get rid of that thing that is brought to our attention. And I must say, it's a difficult task. I had the pleasure to take this feast off. And I really learned some things about myself. Well, yeah, learned some things about myself and realized that there's some schisms that, I've been saying that for a long time, isms and schisms that we all have within ourselves. And the Father brings them things to our attention. When Yahushua sends that spirit back for us to do a task, and we can't do the task properly because we got an ism and a schism that's blocking us or hindering us from doing what is necessary for the righteousness of Yahushua's sake. See, he died for our sake, so we have to die for his sake. But we want to live with that ism and that schism, which prevents us from allowing his light that is in us to shine forth. Why? Because we want to bury it when it's brought to the front. We like it, so we keep it. We like it, or we're afraid of it. We're afraid to get rid of it, so we keep it and tolerate it when in essence it's causing an obstacle in our life. And see, and that's one of the things we see when we look at these lands that Yahushua's son of Nun is giving these tribes, and they're not getting rid of the people. And when they're getting rid of the people, what are they getting rid of? They're getting rid of the ways of that people. Because one of the things that Yahweh told them when they was going into that promised land is not to take on the ways of the people, of the heathen, of the nations that were there. And that's what has happened. When Yahushua takes up residence in us, he is not trying to take up residence with our isms and schisms. And when we go through the baptism, what did we say? We want to be a new creature. We want to be a newness of life in him. But we can't be a newness of life in him if we don't want to get rid of the old me. He said, I wipe the slate clean. I wipe it clean. We also have to wipe it clean. And the way we wipe it clean by keeping his law, statutes, and judgments and applying the fruit of the Spirit and wearing that full armor of Yahushua, which helps us to stand against the adversary. But first we have to, you know, like one of the things in that scripture, we first have to believe in Yahushua. We first have to believe in that word and believe in Yah. See, once we believe in all those and that one thing, then we have the power to overcome the adversary. See, because we realize it is not our power that defeats him. It is the power that dwells within us through Yahushua HaMashiach. And the same thing with them. When they went through the, when they started off in the battles and Yahushua was leading those battles, he was wiping them out. He was getting rid of them people. He was doing as he was told, rid of them people, listening to Yahweh. Same thing we must do. We have to listen to Yahweh. But he has also given us a formula. He's given us a formula. You know, we read scriptures that talk about consult Yahweh. Hear the law from the priest's lips. Go to the elders. That's how we do it nowadays, to follow the process. Rob was talking about that recently. He had an issue that arose amongst us. And the process that he went through to come to the decision that was made. That is a process, family and listening audience, that Yahweh has placed in the world, has placed in his word. And if you don't go according to the process of his word, then that process is your own process. And your process does not equal that of Yahweh's. He tell us in his word, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways. So if you believe that your ways are greater than those of Yah, sent down through his messengers, then you are in error in your own mind. So, you know, just these are just little thoughts that the Father put on my mind throughout the course of this week, and understanding that this battle, he called us fruit. That means we house the seed. What seed do we house? Do we house the seed of Yahushua? Or do we house the seed of Hasatan? We've been talking about that, these two houses, these two families. What family do you really belong to? Do you belong to the family of Yah, or do you belong to the family of Hasatan? See, because you've been handpicked. And what you've been handpicked from? The world. Adam's seed. And we know that Adam's seed was unrighteous, was flawed, had dysfunction. So Yah has picked us out of that dysfunction and sent Yahushua to us to lead and guide us through the word, through this thing called life, through these, you know, as we say, the dash. You know, but now we, you know, we come into, you know, we're in the seventh day. And we're going to get to Joshua. But the Father, wanted me to, you know, because this is interesting, you know, I was talking to my wife, and, you know, before, you know, last week in regards to, you know, this particular Sabbath. And it dawned on me that this particular Sabbath I was going to, you know, because last week took a break because of the Seder. And then this week we, resumed, can it be that simple? And it's the Sabbath day. So later on in the morning you're going to hear me again, you know, during the Torah portion. And then this is a holy day also, the last day of the feast. And as we know, Sabbath hold precedence in our teachings over, you know, because we had a brother that was, you know, was chosen to do the seventh day of the feast. And it falls on the Sabbath, and so, boom, I'm up. And, you know, what made it so interesting, I was talking to my wife, and she's like, you know what? Next Sabbath, you got to teach. You got double duty. And then I was talking to a brother, and he was like, you know what, man? You got to do seventh day of unleavened bread. You know, and I was like, whoa. You know, this is just some of the things I, you know, was going through this week. And it was interesting because, you know, the past couple of years, I hadn't had, you know, when it come time to picking the feast, past couple of years, I wasn't getting anything. You know, we had to, you know, we had to chuckle. We were like, yeah, the Father got you. He got you back. Because last Sabbath, I had to do, you know, had to do some teaching. And I had, you know, had a double Sabbath. And I had to do a double teaching. Because I had to do the first day of unleavened bread. And it also fell on the day in which we offer the sheep. So I talked about both of them. So tonight, you know, I'm talking about the last day. And I'm going to talk about the last day first, and then I'm going to go into Joshua. And it's not that, you know, he gave me a simple thought. And the simple thought was, this is what the title is sanctification doesn't end at the end of each convocation. And how he explained that to me is, see, we have been chosen, we have been sanctified, we have been set apart, not just for these holy convocations, but for our life. We are being set apart. We have been made peculiar to the world. We have to acknowledge that. It's not just for these feasts. It's in everyday life that we are sanctified. Every day we are sanctified. Every day we're showing how Yahweh's light through Yahushua comes through us. We are supposed to have levels of integrity every day of our life. Every day. Not just on Shavuot, not just on the Sabbath, not just on Feast of Unleavened Bread, not just on Pesach, not just on Atonement, not just on Sukkot. Day that he gives us an opportunity to wake up is our day of sanctification. We're separated We have to identify with that. See, we're in this world system, and we have to separate ourselves from it. But what we supposed to do? We're not supposed to forsake the brotherhood. That means we're supposed to be with each other. Not with each other only when it's convenient for you. We're supposed to be with each other all the time. All the time. Because the world hates us. But then we've read in the scriptures how, I think I read it last week, there's wolves amongst the sheep. There's wolves amongst the sheep. And why are they there? I'm going to start with this scripture right here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. And it reads, Yahushua said to them, take heed and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So right here, I put in parentheses, the spiritual opinion of the Pharisees. Be aware of that. Understand the teachings of the Pharisees. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Then he says, he warned them saying, take heed, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. This is the secular opinion of the word. See, back in those days, when you talk about Herod, you're also talking about the Sadducees. And the Sadducees was more of a political system, and they were religious. See, because during that time, Rome had, you know, had the occupation of Jerusalem. And so they bought and sold their seats. And these were the leaders of Israel at that time. So we have to be mindful in this day and time, those who are sitting in these seats, those who are so dogmatic about the word and not paying attention to the spirituality of the word. See, that's one of the reasons why during that time the Pharisees and the Sadducees had problems with Yahushua when he was on the earth. Why? Because they were so busy looking at the letter of the law that they didn't understand the spiritual truths that he was bringing out about the law. And then the ones who had a notion of what he was saying was afraid to bring it out to the people amongst the group because they didn't want to be frowned upon because they were siding or understanding what Yahushua was teaching. And also, they didn't want to lose their position amongst the group because they were understanding and they feeling it out in the modern day time. They was feeling what Yahushua was teaching, but it was different than the group in which they were walking amongst. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 18, and then verse 22, and I'm going to read them right after each other. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh that he should perceive and hear his word? Who has mocked my words and heard it? But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused many people to hear my words and had turned them from their evil ways and from the evil things and the evil of their doing. Let me read that again, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words and had turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. See, if you're not standing in the counsel of Yahushua or in that word, see, because that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cause the crooked ways to become straight. By bringing them to the understanding of the word of Yah. See, because the word of Yah is right and true. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. And it reads, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into enter into the joy of your master. This is, you know, when we read that, I think it's a parable. I think it's a parable or it's a story. It's one of them. But what has happened? The master has given these tasks to individuals. And what did they do? They did well with it. There was one who didn't do anything with it, and he called him wicked. See, that's what is happening to us in this day and time as Yahushua feeds us the word of truth through his spirit. And what are we doing with it? Are we sharing it to edify and correct the wrongs of others? Are we utilizing that word to build others up in the truth? Are we utilizing it to water the plant? Are we utilizing it to break the ground up, to get it ready to receive Yahushua? Are we doing that type of work with the words in which we have been taught, process in which we have been learning? This is our task, because he has handpicked us. He chose us. He came and found us. What did he say? I come for the lost sheep of Israel. He came and he found us individually, not collectively, because we all come from different families, to create this one family of Yah, the true family of Yah, those who worship him in truth and in spirit. The truth is that word. That spirit is Yahushua. All of it is him, his word. As we know, Yah created one thing, and that is his word. And that word dwelt with him. And that word was him. John chapter 15, verse 15. And it reads, no longer do I call you servant, for the servant doesn't know what his master does. But I call you friends. For everything that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So what has he done? We have proven ourselves. And because we have proven ourselves, he calls us friends. Because we are his friends, he knows that he can trust in us. From here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And these all are things just to reiterate that we have been sanctified, and we're not just sanctified on these particular days when we separate from going to work and things of that nature, where we can isolate ourselves, you know, because that's what I did. I isolated myself from my job, and the Father gave me a level of reality and made me realize that, hey, looking at the, you know, I had the opportunity to sit in my backyard and just feel the breeze come past my head and look at the sun. And then, I think it was yesterday, I was sitting outside and the rain was coming down on me and I was just singing. You know, I don't know the whole song, but I was just singing one part because the rain was coming in. And I said, sprinkle clean waters on me and I shall be clean. You know, and that's what we want. We want that reality to understand that we are clean because of Yahushua. We are clean because of him. But we have to continue to put forth the effort to maintain that cleanliness. Because just, you know, we don't want to be like the pig. And like, you know, I tend to use this example when I'm talking to people. You can clean a pig up, clean him up. Eventually, he's going to go right back into that mud. Why? Because he prefer to be dirty. You know? So you have to, you know, we as individuals might have to look at ourselves sometime and see, do I prefer to be dirty or do I want to be clean? You know, you see certain animals, they get cooled off by rolling around in the dirt. They like that dirt on them. You know? Some of these animals we can't eat, like the elephant. What cools it off? Dirt. You know, horses, dirt. Dogs, they roll around in the dirt to cool themselves off. I like taking showers. You know, my wife called me too clean because I like to be in the water, you know. But just want to, you know, just reiterate this about us being sanctified, us being separated, us being clean. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, and it reads, "For who has known the mind of Yah that he should instruct him? But we have Yahushua's mind." We have Yahushua's mind, so we're supposed to be taking on the Father's mind also. Because we read in the scriptures, it said he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father. Why? Because the Father created him. The Father gave him authority. The Father told him what to do. And he obeyed it, just like what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to obey Yahushua. If we obey Yahushua, then we're obeying the Father, because they are one. Just like that last one of those prayers he said, "Father, make them one. Make them one with me as I am one with you." So if we're one with him, then that means we become one with the Father also, and sharing that light to those that are in darkness, because he's going to send us out to give that light to those that are in darkness, those lost sheep, because that work has not been finished. Proverbs 30, verse 4. "Who has ascended into the heavens and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know?" The Father has revealed his son's name to us, and the Father has also revealed his name to us through his son. As we read in the scriptures, we didn't know about the Father until the Son declared him. So we're in a different state than our forefathers, because Yahushua has revealed his Father's name to us. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And it reads, "He called to himself his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every sickness." See, this is what Yahushua has done. He has given authority to this 12. However, he has also given that authority to us, because if we believe in his word and believe in our forefathers and the teachers of old, then we also can have that same authority, because we are becoming a newness when we go through the baptism, when we took on that covenant. We became a newness and a new person, a new individual. At one time we were a servant, but now we are a friend to him and that authority. See, I've got a little note beside this one. Physical authority was granted. That's what he gave them, because when he gave them this authority, he was on the scene. And they were out there doing these things, these physical things that people could see them do. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 23. 21 to 23. And it reads, "Yahushua therefore to them again." And this is after his ascension, and he came down. Well, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension, he had came down. We recently read this, and this is why the Father brought this back to mind for us to reiterate during this last day of the feast. See, because he wants us to understand the authority that we have been given by Yahushua in this day and time. We have to believe We have to have that faith in him. One of the things we've been taught, if you continue in my word, then we will be set free. Set free from what? This world system. We will come out of her, my people. That's what he said in the scriptures. Come out of her, my people. We'll start over. John chapter 20, verse 21. I'll read the 23. Yahushua therefore said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. When he has said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever's sin you forgive, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. Whosoever sin you retain, they have been retained. And I have a little note at the top of this one. This means he has given us spiritual authority. Granted, he gave us spiritual authority now. Because one of the things that when we read in the history of Yahushua being on this earth, he controlled the invisible. When he said, peace be still. Joshua, we read that in Joshua, son of Nun, when he told the sun to stop in the heavens, and it stopped. These are just manifestations of the unseen in creation. Listen to Joshua, son of Nun. These elements also listen to Yahushua. He's given us this authority. But just like he doesn't want us to get big-headed. Paul gives us an example of that one. When he had the thorn in his side and he asked for it to be removed. And then when he realized that my grace was sufficient, the scriptures say, he was a fool in glory. Why? Because now he realized that Yahushua is definitely with him. Even though he had a conversation with Yahushua, even though he had all this knowledge, but he realized that that knowledge, that buffer, that thorn in his side was there to keep him humble. See, and that's one of the things that we have to do. We have to humble ourselves. And in that humility, we have to get rid of those things that is causing us to be big-headed about ourselves. When he brings them to our attention, we have to get rid of them. But we have to humble ourselves to the word. We have to humble ourselves to his servant. We have to humble ourselves to the messenger. See, because sometimes the messenger is not always the person in the pulpit. The messenger can be anyone that Yah chooses to be a messenger to you. And he's shown that in his scriptures when he had the donkey talk to Balaam. You know, when he said in his scriptures, I'll have these rocks crowd. So he can use anything to bring a reality to your mind. There's a scripture that says, let each man be persuaded in his own mind. So he knows what you're thinking. He knows what will persuade you. He knows. But the question is, are you going to receive the correction? From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And it reads, Yahushua came to them and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Yahushua. In the scriptures it says, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we know and understand that we're baptizing them in Yahushua's name, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What's the end of the age? When your dash is up. Yahushua is always with us. First of all, he didn't chose us. He didn't pick us out of the world. He didn't led and guided us, both mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. He's with us. He gave examples in the scriptures, a cloud by day, a fire by night. He split the waters before them, and they walked on dry land. He wiped out armies for them, did these things. He is doing these things for us today. You know? We just have to be willing. And he will do these things. He will open doors that are shut to you if it be according to his will. Or he'll leave a door shut so that you can learn some things and learn some more things before he opened another door for you. So that's, you know, what the Father put on my heart in regards to this seventh day of unleavened bread. If he put some more on my heart, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow when I do the Torah portion. But he wanted me to talk about this right now before we get into Joshua and, you know, just to put some things on your mind, understanding that we are that land. We are being sanctified, the authority that he has given us. That's one of the reasons why we're going to do greater works. Why? Because he has given us the authority over the same authority that he had. But we have to understand how to utilize that authority. We have to understand how to utilize that spirit. There's a scripture, I believe, it says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. But you have to understand how to utilize it. But you're not going to be able to utilize it properly if you have all these stumbling blocks within yourself. That's hindering you from utilizing that spirit that he's constantly putting in you. But then there's a scripture that says, you know, don't grieve the spirit. Don't grieve it. Because eventually, it ain't going to want to be there no more. Why? Because ultimately, you're going to turn away from those things of Yah, those things of Yahushua, and think that you're doing these things. I think it's a scripture where it talks about the ways of a man, you know, something to the effect that what a man thinketh, it might be right to him, but it's wrong. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's the gist of it. Man think that he's right in his doing, when in essence he's wrong in his doing. And when he gets someone to support what he's saying, then he thinks even more that he's right. But we're supposed to seek that word, counsel through that word, to see that what we're saying is according to the word. And if what we're saying is not according to that word, then that means we must stop doing it. And that's if we believe in the word. That's if we believe in Yahushua. That's if we believe in Yah. Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 11:6, you know, about, you know, believing that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then there's another scripture that says, there's a fool that said there is no God. So we have to understand once again that we're always being sanctified. We're always being set apart. We have already been chosen to be set apart. So going back to the title, sanctification doesn't end at the end of each convocation. No, doesn't end there and then pick back up. No, no, it doesn't. Your children don't stop being your children after you had them and after they grow up and leave your home. They don't stop being your children. They're still your children. Good, bad, and in between. They're still your children. And we're still his children that he's chosen. But sometimes, what do we do? He allowed us to go through some things. So one story that comes to mind is the prodigal son. That father allowed his son, gave him the riches that he had and gave him and let him go. And then when all his riches was gone, all the partying was gone, and he realized that he was in a really bad position, he said, hold up, I can go home. He rose up out of that pride and humbled himself and went home. And his father gave him a feast. And that's the same thing with the father. Yeah, he understands our human conditioning. He understands we're going to mess up. But we have to humble ourselves and go back to the father and not be like Israel. They humbled themselves when it got really bad. He rose up prophets. He rose up judges. He rose up kings. And what did they do? They got right for a moment. No, we have to get right and stay right. Like we started off this session, are you ready to fight? You know? I think early in this walk, it was like, hey, look, don't pick up this manual, this mantle if you ain't ready. You know, but that's why he gave a couple parables, you know, about them seeds falling on them different grounds. Now I'm going to get into Joshua chapter 17. And just, you know, like I said, the Father put something else on my heart throughout the course of this evening and tomorrow. And I'll say some more in regards to this seventh day of unleavened bread. But before I go to the Joshua, I'm going to read these two scriptures one more time. And these are two scriptures we started off with. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Yahushua said to them, take heed and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. He warned them, saying, take heed, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. You know, just telling you, you know, we've been saying this little slogan lately. You know, we got to stop eating off of everybody's plate because everybody's plate is not good. If it's not according to what Yahweh say in his word, if it's not according to what's being taught to you, you know, don't be so quick to share it with someone. Go to the council. Talk to someone on a one-to-one basis about something you heard before you decide to start sharing it with someone. Because a little leavening leavens the whole lump. One little misact, one little piece of garbage information will spread like wildfire and have people wondering and doubting. All because of some foolishness that you didn't pick up and didn't investigate. Joshua chapter 17, verse 1. There was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. There was also a lot for the rest of the children of Manasseh by their families. For the children of Abiezer, and for the children of Helek, and for the children of Asriel, and for the children of Shekin, and for the children of Hefer, and for the children of Shemida. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, by their families. But Ziphophad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters: Milcah, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Yahushua, son of Nun, and before the princes, saying that Yahweh commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandments of Yahweh, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their fathers. I'm going to stop here for a minute. And this is just, if we go back and just letting you know that these sisters, stood up for their father's name. Because he had no sons, and that goes to show you that the father taught his daughters about that Torah. Why? Because he didn't have any sons. So when it came down to the inheritance, it was brought to their attention that he had no sons, and it was given to them their inheritance, because then their father's name would have been wiped out, because once they get married, they take on the name of the person they married, and then their father's name would have been erased from Israel. So they went before Moses, and Moses made a judgment, said, give them an inheritance for their father's sake. Verse 5, and there fell 10 portions to Manasseh besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of Jordan. Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among the sons, and the rest of the Manasseh's sons had the land in Gilead. The coast of Manasseh was from Asher till Mikmahath that lied before Shekin, and the borders went along on the right side, the right hand, into the inhabitants of Entepua. Now Manasseh had the land of Tepua, but Tepua on the borders of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim, and the coast descending into the river of Cana, southward to the river. These cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoing of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim, and northward it was Manasseh, and the sea and his border, and they met together in Asher on the north, and Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and Asher, Beth Shaim, and her towns, and Iblim and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Tanaka and her towns, and the inhabitants of the Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in these lands. See, that's one of the points I was making earlier. You had these lands being given to these people or to the tribes of Israel, but then they didn't drive out the people, the inhabitants of the land. And so they dwelt, you know, like this in the scripture said, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. So as we know, what happened? Manasseh's, you know, family, or the inhabitants, you know, Manasseh's family started being influenced by the Canaanites because they were there. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxed strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. So right now, this is telling them, okay, they was there. We got strong enough, but only thing we did was made them slaves, made them pay us for their land, made them pay rent to stay here. When they were strong enough, they get rid of them. But then I guess they got accustomed to them doing stuff there that they was like, nah, we ain't going to get rid of them. We're going to go ahead and utilize their labor. We're going to utilize their funds. No, they were supposed to drive them out. This is one of the things that Yahweh said to them when they go into the land. They were supposed to drive them out. And then the children of Joseph spake to Yahushua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as Yahweh hath blessed me hither. And Yahushua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, cut down for thyself. There's the land of the Perizzites and of the giants. If Mount Ephraim to be too narrow for thee. So right here now you have, what's this? You have Joseph. No, is that Joseph? Well, this is one, it says the children of Joseph. So what has happened, you got, they beefing, well, not really beefing. They're complaining about the portion that they have been given, saying that they are a great people. So Yahushua makes a judgment. Okay, if you so great people, go up there and get this land. You know, hey, it's too narrow for you, boom, I'll give you some land. Go take this land of the Perizzites, and the giants. Verse 16, and the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots and iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are in the valley of Jezreel. So right here, they like saying, hey, look, they got chariots. They got irons. I mean, you supposed to be, you know, the children of Joseph, they already know they supposed to be at war. They already know they supposed to get rid of them. But now you going to complain that they got chariots? Are they ready for the war? No, they not ready for the war. They not ready for the war. But they want to complain. They think they need more land. More land has been offered to you, but now they don't even want to take it because of what's up there. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Bringing up to nowadays, when we have situations and obstacles in front of us, where's our faith? We have to remember those, you know, that history, that belief. Cloud by day, fire by night. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to clear the way for you. The fight is already won. You just have to have faith that is already won for you and do your part in making it manifest. Verse 17, and Yahushua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and have great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have irons and chariots, and they be strong. He's saying, look, yo, you can drive them out. So what, they strong? So what, they have these things? It's that faith in Yahweh that they're not exhibiting right here. Chapter 18, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacles of the congregation there. And then the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Yahushua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go and possess the land which Yahweh your Elohim of your fathers has given you? So right here, he's letting them know, yo, when y'all gonna go? Why y'all slacking? The land is here for you to take it. But they ain't going. Verse 4, give out from among the three men, for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall arise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into seven parts. Yahuda shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in the coast on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into seven parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for each here before Yahweh our Elohim. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priests of Yah is their inheritance, and Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of Yah, gave them. And the men arose and went away, and Yahushua charged them that went to describe the land. Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may cast lots for you before Yahweh and Shiloh. So I'm going to stop here for a minute, because what he said right here, Yahushua charged them. What did he do? He gave them authority. He gave them power so that when they go through this land, that they have the faith and they have the strength to deal with whatever comes their way. And that's what he gives us when he said, I go before you. See, I gave you charge. I gave you power. I gave you authority. Because what is he doing? Just like we read in the scriptures earlier, when he breathed that breath on them, what did Yahushua do? When he breathed that breath on them, he breathed that spirit on them. He gave them essence. He gave them his inheritance, his power. And that's what Yahushua, son of Nun, gave these men. Verse 10. And Yahushua cast lots for them in Shiloh before Yahweh, and there Yahushua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lots came forth between the children of Yehuda and the children of Joseph. And their border on the north side was from the Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountain westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Beth Aven. And the borders went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward. And the border descended to, I read that earlier. Roth Adar, near the hills that lie up on the south side of the neither Beth Haron. And on the border was drawn thence the compass, the corner of the sea, southward, from the hills that lie before Beth Haron, southward, and are going out thereof were at Kiyah Baal. Which is Kiriath Jearim, a city of the children of Yehuda, which was the west quarter. And the south quarter was from the end of Kiriath Jearim, and the border went out on the west and went out to the well of the water of Nephtuah. Niftua. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lies before the valley of the sons of Hemanon, and which is the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom, to the side of Jebusi, on the south, and descended to Engrogel, and was drawn from the north, and went forth to En Shemesh, and went forth toward Gilioth, which is over against the up, which is over against the going up to Adummim, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and passed along toward the side over against Arbah, northward, and went down to Arbah, and the border passed along the side of Beth Hagla, northward, and the ongoing of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan, which was the south coast. And Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coast thereof round about according to their families. Now the cities of the tribes of the children of Benjamin according to the family were Jericho, Beth Hagla, and the valley of Iziz, Arba, Zim Arim, Beth El, Avim, Parah, Ophrah, and Kaphah Hamonai, Ophani, Gaba, 12 cities in their villages, Gibeon, Ramah, Beroth, Mitzpah, Kephira, Mozah, Rakim, Erpil, Parala, Zalah, Ali, Jebusi, which is Jerusalem, Gibeah, Kira, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. So when I'm going to stop here for a minute because, you know, the next chapter is really, you know, it's going to break down more families. But if we pay attention to the detail of these lands and how the father, you know, being very detailed about these different lands and these different places or these different cities, children of Israel had to conquer, you know, because we had to be mindful that these different cities and territories had people there. And the family had to go there and fight. You know, they had to fight. You know, we have to be mindful that these people, they don't have kings. These areas don't have kings no more because them kings been wiped out. Now, that's all they have to do is go in there and clean up. Chapter 19. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribes of the children of Simeon according to their families and their inheritance, was within the inheritance of the children of Yehuda. So one, I'm going to stop here for a minute because as we go through these different divisions, the families are actually by each other. They're near each other. You know, so when it came down to, you know, conquering these particular areas, what they should have done is come together and conquer that area. But they're not doing that. Well, I didn't come across that where they did that so far. I'm going to start over. Joshua chapter 19, verse 1. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their family, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Yehuda. And they had their inheritance, and they had in their inheritance Beersheba, or Sheba, and Molada, and Hazar Shual, and Bala, and Azim, and El Tolad, and Bethul, Horomah, and Ziklag, and Beth Markaboth, and Hazar Susa, and Beth Leboth, and Sharuhim, 13 cities and their villages, Ain, Rimmon, Ether, Ashan, 4 cities and their villages, and all the villages that were round about these cities to Baal of Beer, Ramah of the south. This is the inheritance of the tribes of the children of Simeon according to their families. Out of the portion of the children of Yehuda was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Yehuda was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of them. And the third lot came up from the children of Zebulun, according to their families and the borders of their inheritance, was unto Sarid. And their borders went up toward the sea of Maralah and reached to Dabashis, and reached to the rivers that is before Jokneam, and turned from Sarid eastward toward the sunrise and to the borders of Kisloth Tabor, and then goeth out to Deberah, and go up to Yafia, and from thence pass on along on the east to Gittath Hefer to Iftah Kazin, and goeth out to Rimmon Mithor to Nea, and the border compass it on the north side to Hanah Bon, and the outgoing thereof are the valleys of Yaphnael and Kittath Nahalal and Shimron and Adala and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun according to the families, these cities and their villages. And the fourth lot came out to Issachar for the children of Issachar according to their families, and their borders was toward Jezreel, Chesolo, and Shunin, Farin, Sion, Anna Hara and Rabbi and Kishon Abez and Remit and Inganin and Hadah Aziz, and the coast reaches to Tabor and Shahazima and Beth Shemesh, and the outgoing of their borders were at the Jordan, 16 cities and their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities and their villages. And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. And their border was Hakah, Hali, Bitin, and Akshaphah, and Alam Malek, Ahmad, Mishil, and reaches to Carmel westward, and to Chihor Libithna. Oh man, I turned the page. Oh man. Excuse me, family, I turned the page. 27. And turneth toward the sunrise to Beth Dagon, and reaches to Zebulun, and to the valley of Yifith Ha'el, toward the north side of Beth Emek and Nail, and goeth out to Kabul on the left hand, and Hebron, Rahab, Hamon, Hana, even into great Zidon. And then the coast turneth to Ramah and to the strong city Tari. And the coast turneth to Hosa. And the outgoings thereof are at the sea from the coast of Akzib. Umah also, and Afek, and Rahab, 22 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to the families, these cities and their villages. The sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali, according to their families. And their coast was from Halef, from Alon to Zanani, Adami, Ikeb, and Jemil, unto Lakum, and the outgoings thereof were at Jordan. And then the coast turned westward to Azno, and goeth out to Hekuk, and reaches to Zebulun on the south side, and reaches to Asher on the west side, and to Yehuda upon Jordan toward the sunrise. And the fifth city of Zedin, Zir, and Hamath, Rakkah, and Kinneroth, and Adama, and Ramah, and Hazor, and Kadesh, and Ideri, and Hazor, and Iron, that ain't right, but I'm going to say it, Iron, and Migdal, Harim, and Beth Anah, and Beth Shemesh, 19 cities and their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities and their villages. And the seventh lot came out to the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. And the coast of their inheritance was Zaroth and Eshtaol and Irshimesh and Zaal Sha'al Labim Ajalon Elon Finnasam Al Ekron El Teka Gimithon Baal Af Yehud Ben Bine Barak Gareth Rimmon Mikjakon Rakon with their borders before Yafo. And the coast of the children of Dan, and the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshim and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and dwelled therein and called Leshim Dan after the name of Dan their father. Stop here for a minute. Gotta stop here. We talk about Dan. You know, Don, you know, he realized that the place that he got was too small. So he went and he smoked some people at the edge. He went and took some land from some people. You know, why? Because he had that faith. He knew that the land that he was given was too small for his people. As a result, they went and took some more land. Changed the name of the land also. Changed it to their father's name. This is the inheritance of the children of the This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, their cities, with their villages. When they had made an end of the dividing of the land for the inheritance by the coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Yahushua, son of Nun, among them. According to the word of Yahweh, they gave him the city which he asked even Timnath-Serah and Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest and Yahushua son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by the lot of Shiloh before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of the dividing of the country. Chapter 20. This is going to be the last chapter for tonight. And Yahweh also speaking to Yahushua, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, I point out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unaware and unwittingly may flee hither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doeth flee unto one of these cities shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ear of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up to his hands, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hateth him not before time. He shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and into his own house and into the city from whence he fled. and they appointed Kadesh and Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem and Mount Ephraim and Kiah Haba, which is Hebron, and the Mount of Yehuda. And on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourned among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unaware might flee hither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. And that concludes chapter 17 to 20. So I'm going to stop here, just going to stop here for a minute. Understanding, the knowledge and the wisdom of Yahweh, to protect someone who kills someone by accident. Because, we live in a system, back then he understood that man was going to live by the letter of the law. And then, as we say, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, where men would take that and feel as though that a man killed someone by accident, that he deserved to die also, not realizing that it was an accident. He didn't have any malice for this person, but he knows and understands human nature. And he set up cities for his people and the stranger who sojourned among them. Because we know that when they came out, the Exodus from Egypt, that there was strangers that came out amongst them. And when they crossed over to Jericho, there were strangers that came amongst them. When they conquered these different cities and these different lands, strangers came among them because they had fear in Israel's God, Israel's Mighty One. And Israel's Mighty One set up places of refuge. Yahushua is our refuge. He is our strong city. He is our strong wall. And the only thing this is doing, just manifesting something physical, that Yahushua became to us a refuge for us, to protect us from the avenger of blood. And the avenger of blood is Hasatan. He wants blood. He wants our life for the mistakes that we may make. So we run to that strong, that high tower, which is Yahushua. So family, to reiterate, sanctification is always with us. Why? Because we've been handpicked. We've been handpicked to do a work. Yahushua came down and he picked us out. His spirit picking us out. Scripture say, my sheep know my voice. He spoke and we heard. He spoke and we lift our head up. Continue to follow. Continue in his ways and in his truth. And you will be set free from this world system. So, family, thank you. I thank Yah for choosing us to walk in his ways and walk in his truth. I ask you, Father, on this evening to continue to open our minds to the wonders of your word. Continue to open our eyes to perceive the truth of your word. Continue to help our hands to work diligently in your word and keep our feet walking on that path of righteousness. May we continue to learn how to utilize the spirit of Yahushua. May we continue to utilize this word for the edification of humanity. for the cultivating of minds, for the planting of the seed of righteousness, for the watering of cleansing, so that this seed of righteousness that's planted, which is Yahushua, can grow and sprout within us and produce the fruit of the Spirit and equipping us with the full armor to defend ourselves against ourselves, to help others defend themselves against the adversary. For as we stand together, we stand strong. But we stand isolated, we become victims. Become victims of ourselves. Become victim of Hasatan. So Father, as I come before thee, on behalf of my family, on behalf of my friends, on behalf of Israel, continue to strengthen us in your ways and in your truth and bring us together as a family. Bring us together to fight the good fight against the adversary. As you said in your word, we're not ignorant of his devices. May we not wink at these devices that he's using to divide us. May we come to one another in meekness and in love one another, overcome our shortcomings. Father, we can do all things with the power of thy Son, Yahushua. But he told us, anything that we ask in his name, that you will grant it, if it be according to your will. Father, we thank you once again for supping with us on this Sabbath day. We thank you for the message that you've sent out on this Sabbath day. Continue to strengthen us. Continue to assist us in being friends, servants, warriors for your truth, for your ways. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Merciful Father, once again, I ask of thee, on behalf of myself, my family, my friends, and Israel, he continue to strengthen us in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind so that we'll always be ready and standing on your truth. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray once again. Amen. May you all have a peaceful slumber and enjoy life with Yahweh, life with Yahushua. But the ultimate goal is to meet our Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. Have a peaceful slumber.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. I have everything.
doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes say I am healed, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey, and it belongs to me. All blessing belongs to me. When he laid down his life, that I might live above. According to his will, I know it's mine. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. Hey.
It belongs to me.
Heaven belongs to me.
Hey. It belongs to me. Turn it eternally. With my
grateful. You are my light when I Gadol Yahweh, U Meholal Meod, Ba'ir Eloheinu Har Kadasho, Yife Nof Meshoshchal Haaretz, Hatzion Yakelti, Safon Kiryat Melek Rav, Elohim Be'ar Menoteha, Noda Le Mishkav.